You're tuned into 91.3 KXEI Tucson. My name's Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. So pleased to be able to send it over to Studio 2A for the first time in nearly 2.5 years. My guest this week, Riso, celebrating the release of their new album at 191 Tool on Friday. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. But first, let's hear them live in Studio 2A.
Early light like summer ghost, stealing softly through my mind. Stuccoed walls in seamless motion, shadows of a day gone by. When the day is easy, we count the faces in the clay. Count the days between us, consider reasons we could stay.
Closer to
as the sun is slowly sinking into a distant ocean way. And I don't know if I've ever loved any other half as much as I do in this light she's under.
Thank you so much. That was, the first tune was the opening track of the new record, and that second tune was actually Death Cab for Cutie meets the Monkees. It was written by the lead singer of Death Cab for Cutie, Ben Gibbard, and it was sung by the Monkees on their 30th anniversary record. That's just one of our favorites, so we threw it in there.
We're gonna do another song from the new record. This is one that the electric guitar player on the record, we had Ryan David Green from Ryan Hood, lay down some just really tasty electric guitar on this song on the record, and he's going to be joining us for the show on Friday, so we're excited to have him open and join us on this next song at the show. But this is the locals only version.
One, two, three, four.
cool front. Lying with my back to the TV, you're acting like everything's fine. And it's no use trying to talk it over. It's a one-lane road and I'm stuck out on the shoulder. Take it fast, take it slow. You're gonna take me down with you. Take it high, take it low, but baby, don't think you're gonna take me down with you.
You're tuned in to 91.3 KXEI Tucson. My name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I am live in Studio 2A with Riso. Thank you so much for coming down tonight.
Thank you for having us.
We're very excited.
So let's start off with introductions. Go around the room. Let us know who you are, what you're doing tonight.
All right. This is Rebecca. I'm playing guitar, singing.
This is Tuya. I'm playing the bass.
And this is Matt, and I'm just playing electric guitar and play some mandolin here next.
Excellent. Well, so excited to have you in on the week of a big, exciting show celebrating the release of the new album. So let's start at the beginning, though, because since the last time we saw you, this is a new project. You haven't been in as Riso. So let's talk a little bit about the origin, and I'll start with you, Matt, because you're not tuning right now. Uh-huh. So what was the genesis of the project?
Yeah, well, so the last CD that we produced was for Rebecca's National Parks project, mm-hmm. the Seed and Silo album, and so that was released under her name, Rebecca Roland. And all the shows that we did for that, we really started developing this, you know, sort of two guitar and guitar and mandolin and guitar and electric guitar dynamic. And we've been playing music for 13 years together now between Run Boy Run and our Irish band in college. And we just felt like it was time to put a name on that collaboration and, you know, that musical relationship. And so we decided for this next record to choose the name Riso, which is basically a jumbled together combination of the letters from our last name. Mm-hmm. We liked it. And but also just because we wanted to create something new. And so for this new record, we decided to put under that new name, Riso. And our good friend Tuya Lund, who we've been playing music with for a long time, was an instrumental part of that process. And went into the studio over a year and a half to do that record, which is a retrospective of sorts of both our musical relationship and personal relationship. A lot of that history we decided to put in the record.
Now, are how many of the songs that ended up on the record are songs that you wrote after you had consciously made the decision to begin this project and transitioned using this name versus songs that had existed in some previous iteration?
I think it's about 50%. Mm-hmm. I think there are two songs that the newer songs on the record that we wrote, interestingly enough, were almost an afterthought. Like, we're like, oh, let's write a couple together. Let's write mm-hmm. one specifically for the album. Write a couple specifically for the album. And one of those ended up being the title track, New Eyes. Mm. And that's the one that we co-wrote together. Mm. But some of the others kind of evolved as we were doing live shows. And, well, as live as they could be during COVID. But mm-hmm. but we did a few live shows prior. And there were a couple that were in development at that time. And we were like, oh, this feels like these songs could direct the like kind of the sound we want on the album. Mm-hmm. And so there were a couple songs that were really foundational that we were playing prior, but that ended up just having a big influence on the overall sound.
Now, you also, I mean, you mentioned Tura, but you have and Ryan as well, but you really recruited some wonderful players to contribute to the album. So I'd love to hear at what point in the process, either if particularly for some of the newer songs, you know, in the composition process, but then certainly once you're in the studio, at what point did you start to hear in your head what kinds of players that you wanted to be, the sounds that were kind of fleshing out these sounds beyond just the two of you working on a song together in a room?
Well, you're smiling big, so I think you should take this one.
Well, it was funny. Like, there was this one song where it was, we were like, man, we love the Shins. And it's it's a funny thing because it's like so much of our lives have been devoted to like old time music and bluegrass music. And that is truly, I mean, it is in our bones. Like, we can't help ourselves. Mm-hmm. But like, we're like, man, we should just dig into this other stuff we love too. And once we kind of started hashing out that song, we got really excited about Ryan in particular. Mm. And we got Arthur Venn on the drums on that song, which was so very necessary. Mm. And we certainly, when the drums aren't there, it's like our heart aches a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was one of those where it's like, God, we have to have really good electric and we have to have like a good steady drum. And then we always knew Tuya because he's tried and true. We mm-hmm. knew he would be on the record, and he's been kind of along for the ride for a long time. Since the first iterations, really. So, yeah.
Tuya is the one session player that was definitely part of the arranging process, so to speak. I mean, Becca and I did a lot of that in advance, but we wanted everything to work in a trio format because that's how we've been playing. And so that really was kind of the core, and that's what we recorded first. And we worked with our good friend, PD Ronstadt, to do most of the tracking for the record up at the Jim Brady studio. And he was great to work with, and it's nice to work with a friend. And we did things backwards from how a lot of production, you know, happens in the studio, you know. So the drums was actually the second to last thing we put on the record. Huh. So the record was pretty much done, and then we're like, all right. I mean, part of it's because Arthur is a hard man to pin down.
Yeah.
Like, he's back from New York. Book a session. But also because, I don't know. I guess just the way we approach the music, it felt like a texture rather than sort of that core rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Once Arthur came in to lay down his tracks, what was his assessment of, did you manage to keep a decent rhythm in the absence of him, or did he have some cleanup work to do?
There's some color.
Okay.
Yeah. Dynamics, so to speak.
Okay.
Yep.
But I will say, listening to the album, the presence of drums was something that really stood out, and perhaps just because of kind of the what I hear in my head when I think about other projects that you've been involved in the past. But I thought that it really brought a lot to this project and the album. So
thanks.
Glad you could pin him down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, too.
And I have to throw credit Becca's way because she's I'm very much a noodler mm-hmm. of the duo in the trio. Like I find ideas by discovering them in my fingers and just playing, and she can hear things in her head really well. And so a lot of the layers on the album came from ideas that she had, you know, about, so French horn, for example, the first song we played, Closer.
Yeah.
It's one day she just sat up on the couch and was like, what if we had French horn on this song? It's like, I love it. Let's find a French horn player. And that was a fun Tucson moment because, you know, with all those things, there's so many great musicians in town.
Yeah.
I just sent out some emails and someone was like, oh, here's a, you know, here's someone you can contact.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in town, but he did it that day. And it was amazing.
It's so good. Well, on Friday, 191 Tool, what do you have in store for folks?
Well, hopefully...
The best show you've ever seen in 29 months.
We are like bursting at the seams to play music.
Yeah.
To play live, to play these songs, you know. Yeah. They're just, a lot of them we just haven't hardly played live at all. So you can expect Ryan's going to be opening. Nice. And it's going to be pretty intimate. We thought about having drums and a full band, and we... You know, in the end, it feels a little bit like sticking to what we know, just keeping it really intimate, keeping it really raw. So
wonderful.
That you can expect.
All right. Mm-hmm. So 191 Tool, Friday. We'll talk more in a little bit, but why don't we get into another set of music here with Risa?
All right. One, two, three, four. Oh, wow. Capo up.
Let's blame it on the humidity tonight.
Let's blame it on the humidity. Okay. One, two, three, four. You'll never be the sun. the sun.
One cover on the record, which Becca wrote a new melody for. We're gonna do an instrumental now for you.
Let me just tune my real quick. And this is an instrumental tune that Matt wrote. This is one that goes a few years back, but he's played it with Ryan Green and Ryan Alfred, and it's a lovely tune. Caterpillar Prince is what it's called. So it's one of two that he wrote on the record, one of two instrumentals that he wrote.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Locals Only. My name's Matt, live in Studio 2A with Riso. That was a fun one.
Yeah, it was nice to have you there bobbing your head.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a good song for
that. So I'm curious, you know, in the last set we talked a little bit about how for this project you're able to draw on a broader palette of influences, you know, still rooted in the Americana sounds that, you know, you've drawn on in other projects, but with some more of your other interests. And so I'm curious if that sort of broader palette of musical influences had any effect on your songwriting from a lyrical perspective. Did you find yourself gravitating towards different kinds of topics or even just a sort of different language that that matched the style, or do you still see these songs on paper as being translatable to your other projects?
Yeah, I think there is probably like a voice that's similar, like throughout. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm speaking for my songwriting, but I think the difference would be I don't always write autobiographically.
Mm.
Because I find that it's easier just to write about other people or stories,
right,
and a good book or a,
yeah,
good character. Or, it's just, I find that is often like what I turn to for inspiration. Mm-hmm. And this is, some of it, not all of it, but much of it is very autobiographical. I kind of drew from memories. I think I felt a little nostalgic lately.
Mm.
I think it was a little bit of COVID. Just, mm-hmm, I'm missing, mm-hmm, sort of the like freedom of movement in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But certainly thinking about being young and, mm-hmm, and just really untethered in every way possible.
Right.
Which is kind of a cliche, but it's kind of like you look back and you're like, wow, the possibility that existed, you know, and,
yeah,
and just kind of the excitement about that. And not that I don't feel excitement about life right now, but, mm-hmm, I certainly wrote some of these with some nostalgia.
Mm.
And I definitely think in a more like modern voice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I have some major songwriting influences, I think, who maybe when I'm really immersed and when I'm listening a lot, it, mm-hmm, it definitely affects output.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was the same with the last record. It was so, mm, funny. One of my friends was like, I could tell almost what you, because she, you know, we listen to a lot of,
yeah,
music.
Yeah.
She's like, it's like I knew what album was running through your, what albums were running through your record player. I think it's just, it's amazing how that happens. But it's just,
sure,
it really can affect, yeah, it can affect like the mode you're in. So.
Yeah. Matt, is that something that you, you know, it, both in the songs that you were co-writing with Becca, but also just in, as she was bringing songs to you, did you perceive any shift?
Yeah, I definitely did. You know, and it's part of what you asked about earlier, you know, how many of the songs existed before the project, you know, the album, and, mm-hmm, how many evolved. And the songs that she brought originally, you know, they were different than, Closer was one of the first songs that she played for me that ended up on the new record. And I immediately liked it, but it was also, I couldn't imagine that song, any of our past projects playing that song. And so, mm-hmm, it's like, let's approach this song with, mm-hmm, a new production sense, you know, the doors, mm-hmm, were kind of open, and, mm-hmm, then trying to find the right production and feel that fit that song. But also, you know, lyrically, Becca's right. Like she hasn't talked a lot about us personally, our past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more of that on there, which makes us feel a little vulnerable,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's hard when it's kind of your stories out there. But we're also so used to just talking about tradition and history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that's documented, especially as a, you know, part of this context for us with this record is that we had a child during, mm, the making of this record.
Mm.
And so it's kind of fun that, you know, in a way it's a timestamp. You know, there's,
yeah,
songs that talk about our life pre-child, and, mm, and there's some songs that were written post-child and produced post-child. I will say, now that we have a child, she tolerates our rehearsals, and that's about the extent of it. We wrote a song for her, and we cannot get her to enjoy the song as hard as we try. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
I'm also curious, you know, now that you have this project, as new, particularly since you finished recording the album, as new ideas for songs pop into your head, are you still thinking of songs through the lens of these are going to be Riso songs, or do you are you still do you have orphan songs, so to speak, that like you've got the idea but you're not yet sure, is this the project, are you going to shift into something else when it comes time to record again? What do you see as the future of Riso?
Yeah, I love that term, orphan songs. honestly, the exciting thing about Riso is it feels like it's yet undefined.
Uh-huh.
And so
yeah.
it almost feels like, wow, we can do whatever we want. I mean, wanted to take a different direction, like we love doing orchestration on record and having like interesting string parts. And we did some of those arrangements, and then a friend of ours did some of the arrangements, and we were like, we should do a whole record where it's just guitar and like amazing, like a quartet. You know, so occasionally we just throw around ideas like that, and it's kind of nice that it's like, why not do that under that name? Like,
right.
I think for a long time, because it's all that we knew to perform, really, it's all we'd ever performed, we really stuck to, like I said earlier, we stuck to traditional music, which we still love and which we still listen to and we actively play. But it's interesting to be in a project where it's just, I mean, it's kind of open to, we can kind of do whatever we want, and that's exciting to us, you know?
While also still having the limitation of generally we want to play, you know, as a duo or a trio format, which, you know, places different constraints on it. And so that is still important to us. And that's kind of how we, even though there's a lot of, you know, our great friends and players on the record, we kind of built everything with the trio in mind and then layers on top of it. And so I think that will continue to be, you know, a staple of how we arrange and write and compose the next couple years at least.
Yeah.
I have to think more about the orphan songs. There are some where they just never found a home. Maybe part of it is that I feel like sometimes you write a song and then 10 years later you're like, I don't know that that song is as great as I thought it was. So there's that factor too.
So obviously Friday, 191 Tool will be folks' next opportunity to see you live, but I know you've got a number of other shows on the horizon around Southern Arizona and beyond. So what's the best way for folks to find that information?
Our website definitely is the best place. I mean, we are active on social media as much as we have to be. but really, we've kind of found, this is something also during COVID, we just found it's so much more meaningful for us to craft an email, you know, and write a meaningful message. Kind of about what we've been doing and what we've been doing. So we've been putting a lot of the information effort into our email blasts, which we do, you know, every couple of weeks. So I'd say website, which is risoband.com. That's risoband.com. And then you can sign up for our mailing list on there.
And we have the dates listed there as well. And actually Bands in Town, because it's synced with our Bands in Town. So
perfect.
Yeah, we do have social media. You can follow us. Yeah. It's just we can't promise you we'll be as regular as we possibly can. We try.
We don't promise you any cooking videos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's no cooking videos on our channel.
Well, let's hear a few more songs here, and then we'll check in real quick at the end of the hour here. But you're listening to Riso live in Studio 2A on Locals Only.
Penny Burnout.
Still young, and then I am old enough
was actually a William Butler Yeats poem set to music.
I'm going to take a second to tune, but you should talk about this song, because this is actually my favorite song on the record.
It's called It Doesn't Stand a Reason, and it is one of the older tunes. I wrote it a few years ago, but I guess I like to tell the story that we had arranged it for the first time right before March 2020, and we had this random show, like, in the region, and we were deliberating whether or not to go, and we ended up going. It was like a 5-person audience, and it was before, I think we had one case in Arizona, you know, it was before we really knew what was going to happen, and we played this around a single mic, and I think back, it feels a bit like a, post-apocalyptic song, kind of like, and so it. I look back at that and I think how interesting that that's when we debuted it, and then we left it alone for a long time because we didn't really know what to do with it. Like, and it took several months to kind of find a way to play it that felt right. So, we ended up just stripping it way down on the record, and it's just guitar, and then we had our friends arrange some strings for it. So our friends Ben and Caitlin, they're a fiddler and cellist in Nashville, and they're great. Sitting still, the two of us, staring well into the distance, rows that grow and multiply as they run. Day falls like a page before us, with night still heavy on our shoulders. The birds around us sing a new day song. Beautiful and wild, standing on the edge of morning, how the stars grow brighter still as they fade. Broken bird upon the shelf knows fully what the changing light means, still she hopes that she will fly to it someday. What will tomorrow bring? We cannot read the sky, etchings in the heavens. We cannot see them though we try. And will we yet remain two lovers bound as one, holding to our promises like planets spinning round the sun?
time for one more?
Yeah, definitely.
We'll I'll switch back over to mandolin here, and we'll do the title track to the record. We'll do a shout out now. This is a song that we finished writing out at a place called Elkhorn Ranch, which is about an hour southwest of Tucson. It's a beautiful dude ranch that's been around for about 4 decades, and it was a really great place to work on the record. And so we're thankful to Mary and Charlie for giving us the invite to come out and work on this. Is a song that we kind of did so this was one of the co-writes, and we decided to do a songwriting exercise with this one, and we decided to basically just free write short stories about memories from our different generations in our family. That would just be kind of a fun exercise to do. So we decided, you know, we'd say, okay, let's write about our maternal grandmothers, and let's now write about our dad, and you know, it ended up just being kind of a good stimulus to sort of put some lines down, and then we started piecing some lines together from that that felt like they went together. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the lyrics ended up kind of poetic, but the idea was to take stories from the people that came before us and combine them together, and also took on some new significance since we were writing this during COVID. So that definitely seeped in. I'm glad you're taking more care with that guitar than I did on that last song.
Oh. All right, this is New Eyes.
Trees grow quiet,
think about the river. I think about the rain. The promenade of summer with little thought of change. Do I ready for tomorrow? 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 All the world is changed. All the world is changed. All the world is
You've been listening to Riso live in Studio 2A here on Locals Only. They'll be performing at 191 Tool on Friday. Ryan David Green from Ryan Hood's going to be opening up. Any parting words or greetings for the broader world?
If this were a show, I would say, could we have a round of applause for KXEI? But you're going to have to give the round of applause at home. But thank you all so much for being here. And we're very honored to be the inaugural in studio back here in the session. We love this radio station, all that you do for musicians. So thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to Duncan and to Walter for being able to make this happen, and everyone at KXCI who supported it. And with that, we're going to wrap things up here on Locals Only and hand things over to Danae and Night Interlude over at the Historic Hotel Congress. Take it away.